Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so much for this day that we can come together and praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your goodness that has led us to repentance, God, that we can come to know you as Lord and Savior of our lives. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we just ask for your blessing upon this entire service. Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit to worship you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll praise in the valley. I'll praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm outnumbered and when I'm surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drowning. And as long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control.
Yes,
'cause praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. 'Cause praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul.
I'm gonna praise
the Lord, oh my soul.
Don't be quiet.
Oh, I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How can I keep it inside? Praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'm gonna praise the Lord, oh my soul. No, I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How can I keep it?
Don't be quiet.
I won't be quiet. God is alive. How can I keep it inside?
Declare it one more time.
I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How can I keep it inside?
So I'm gonna
praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Yes, I'm gonna
praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Don't be quiet.
I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How can I keep it inside?
Oh, I'm gonna praise
the Lord, oh my soul. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out of, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, whose pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
You give and take away.
Give and take away. Give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name.
Oh, you give.
You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus. Mighty God.
Though a thousand may fall at my side, though the enemy war against me, I will not fear the terror by night. I will hide in the shadow of your wings. I will dwell shelter of the Most High God. I will rest in the beauty of your presence. Your faithfulness is a shield and my great reward. I have set me securely on high.
Thank you, Jesus.
You deliver me out of darkness. And when evil surrounds my life, you commanded your angels to guard me. I will dwell the shelter of the Most High God. I will rest in the beauty of your presence. Your faithfulness is a shield and my great reward. I will not be afraid. I will trust in the Lord. You have set me securely on high. You delivered me out.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes. And when evil surrounds my life, you commanded your angels to guard me. I will dwell shelter of the Most High God. I will rest in the beauty of your presence. Your faithfulness is a shield and my great reward. I will not be afraid. I will trust in the Lord.
Yes, we trust you.
I trust in you, Lord. Against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper, says the Lord. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon Lord. Oh, we will dwell. trust in you, Lord. Oh, I trust in you, Lord. I trust in you, Lord. I trust in you, Lord.
Good morning. We serve an awesome God. Is that not true? How faithful He is every day. And I was thinking, and when just listening and considering this, where the Lord says, I will trust in the Lord, I've learned that trust only works in the dark. If you have daylight, you don't have to trust. You know where to go and what to do. But in the dark, it's a different story. And with the darkness that we battle, the things that we have to go get constant, when we stand in trust, we know He's with us, right?
Yeah. Amen.
How good He is. Say amen.
Amen.
Be seated, please. We just want to say, first of all, welcome. Glad you're here this morning. I'm glad some of you made it out of the hills and the burials and top of mountains. I don't know if you hit snow or not, but we're glad you're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I need to just make these couple thoughts, and then we're moving forward here. Miss Kay, I'm assuming we're dismissing to Children's Church now. So boys and girls, we'll let you go to Children's Ministries. Thank you. Miss Kay will grab you right there in the foyer. While the kids are leaving, I'd like to say welcome to our visitors. And in the front of where you're sitting on a chair near you, there is probably a blue card. And that blue card, what you need to do is just take it, fill that out so that we know how to contact you, be able to say welcome and how wonderful it was to have you. So if you'd fill that out, and here's all you have to do is when you leave today, right there at the back, we have there our tithe and offerings is deposited there. But what we're asking of you is you would put your visitor card. We'd like to be able to keep in touch with you. Welcome. Let's give all of our guests a hand. Tell them how good it was to be here. Thank you, thank you. Now, I had a chance about 3-4 days ago. I got a phone call from a fella in Seattle. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, hi, I'm Charlie. And I said, well, hi, Charlie. And I don't usually talk to Charlies from Seattle. But I did, and I had a great, great conversation with Charlie. And Charlie, I'm not going to let all of the details out of what you shared with me. But Charlie shared with me how he had just been released from prison. And God had, about a year ago, he was introduced to the Lord. And he said, God met me, Pastor, and I found Jesus. And he says, it's been so dynamic. He says, these were your words to me, Charlie. He said to me, he said, I can hardly recognize myself because of what God has done in my life through his son. I thought, wow, now that's a testimony right there. But Charlie and Deanna, his wife, are here this morning and I believe are going to be living here in St. Mary's. And we're wanting to welcome them to the house of the Lord. So maybe you could just wave your hands at us so we can see who you are. There you are. God bless you. Give them a hand. You were born and raised here? Well, man, I guess I'm the one. I've only been here 15 years. You're a lifer, Deanna. God bless you. Help me out. Tell me where I need to go next. Good to have you. Praise the Lord. I'd like to also just make mention that after our service, we are going straight to our fellowship hall. We have a wonderful potluck that's for all of us. And we just won't have any lack of food. So don't use that as an excuse. We want you to come and sit and fellowship and eat and have a great short period of time, like an hour, hour and a half, usually is what they last. And you can come and go as you need to, but we want to welcome you to our potluck dinner. Will you come?
Yeah.
Cameron, was that you or Pat? That was you. Well, I knew it came from both of you, but I really thought it was Pat, actually, because oh, well. So right after our service, we're going to be taking care of that. And one last thing I want to just say. Sharon Sharon's back there telling me to be quiet. Sharon, you know that doesn't work. But we love you. She has gone through an intensive time in these last 6-8 weeks of being in the hospital and out of the hospital. And Sharon, it is so good to see you and Frank back. We love you. God bless you. I'm hearing great reports of how things are turning. So could we give them a hand as well and say you. We're thankful for God's goodness in their lives. Praise God. We love you both. Appreciate you. Now, it's really, really possible I've missed something or someone. The only thing that I think I've missed is I don't see enough suntan on all of the Carpenter and Year Out family. So was it cloudy or what was the story? Was it cloudy? You know what? You need to go to the Tri-Cities or something, down there where it never rains. We're glad to have you back. God bless you. This morning, let me tell you how this works. Different. Excuse me, why my wife is speaking to me.
Oh, it is. Is that more betterer? Okay, good, 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 good. Oh, I love small towns. You know where I graduated from high school? Ever heard of Tombstone, Arizona? Yeah, I'm a Tombstoneite, yeah. Respect, yeah, for small towns. So, anyway, I'm just so thrilled to be here with you guys. Forgive me before I arrange my furniture here. And but yes, yeah, so what a wonderful thing to be with Lynn and Donna Peters. And Lynn has been such an incredible blessing to me through the years. And the revivals we've seen that happened in Arizona amongst the youth there was absolutely phenomenal, wasn't it, brother? And he's been such a support to me through an incredible time in my life that I'll tell you more about later. But I'm just so thankful to be here. I've been wanting to come here for years now, you know, since I found out Lynn and Donna were here. And so this is really a dream come true. And how about that worship team you guys have, huh? Can you just express your appreciation to them, Sharon? Good job, man. I mean, God is in the house here. You know what I'm saying? Well, hey, I'm gonna plug in some Jerry. I forgot to plug in the ukulele first. Okay, so I'm gonna do that.
Okay. So,
isn't this guy cute? Oh, if you've never played a ukulele, you should learn it. Other than the kazoo, it's the easiest instrument in the world to play. But you know, I got saved in Arizona. My dad was a football coach at the University of Arizona there. And it was during the time what we could now call the Jesus movement. Wave at me if you know about that thing. Yeah, there was a movie came out about it last year. And I got saved during that era. A lot of hippies were getting saved. But you know what? I was not a hippie. I was a nerd. I was a total geek. And so now, you know, I'm hanging out with hippies and going to Bible studies with them, and they're teaching me to go evangelize and witnessing, you know, where people are dealing drugs. I'm this little nerd, you know. But you know how the saying goes, the lion shall lay down with the lamb, and the nerd shall worship with the hippie. Yeah, that was my, yeah. So this is such a funny song. Can you hear the ukulele? Can you hear it? It's so tiny. It's hard. So I learned this funny song from, I've never forgotten it. I wanted to share it with you, right? Isn't that happy? It goes like this. 5'9", eyes that shine, born and raised near Palestine. Has anybody seen my Lord? He heals the sick, raises the dead, does neat things with fish and bread. Has anybody seen my Lord? So if you run into a friendly Jew wrapped up in a sheet, has long hair, wears a beard, be sure to check his hands and feet, cause he is neat, he is cool, he can walk across your swimming pool. Has anybody seen my Lord? He's the Messiah. Has anybody seen my Lord? He'll set you free. Has anybody seen my Lord? His name is Jesus. Has anybody seen my Lord?
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. All right. Oh, man. Okay, so I like to have fun at church. Do you? Okay, so
Can you hear that all right? Do a little rock and roll, okay? I know I'm in the right place today. When you're drowning in sorrows, when you're fighting your fears, when it seems your tomorrow has no hope and no cheer. A little more guitar, Jerry, okay? When the waves of confusion, they try to carry you away, you gotta open your mouth and open your heart, 'cause you got something to say. He's gonna be there, yeah. Oh, when you are up, when you are down, he's gonna be there, oh yeah. Whether you smile and whether you frown, just call out to Jesus, say his name right out loud. He's gonna be there, he's gonna be there right now, yeah, yeah. Now he's the rock of all ages, he's the prince of all peace. I'm preaching now, right? He's the castle you run to. He's the God of release. He's Jehovah provider. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He's always listening. He's always watching. You're a child of that King. Oh, he's gonna be there. Oh, oh, when you are up, when you are down, he's gonna be there, oh yeah. Whether you smile, whether you frown, just call out to Jesus, say his name right out loud. He's gonna be there, he's gonna be there right now, oh, oh, oh. So if you're down in some dungeon, you gotta call out his name, 'cause he is always faithful. You know he's always the same. And how great is his goodness. You know he's saving it up and he's sending it down. It's gonna be there. And now I'm gonna tell you how. He's gonna be there. When you are down, he's gonna be there, yeah. Whether you smile, whether you frown, just call out to Jesus, say his name right out loud. He's gonna be there, he's gonna be there right now, oh yeah. He's gonna be there, he's gonna be there right now. Just like he said he would, he's gonna be there, he's gonna be there right now, he's gonna be there right now.
Whew. Man, I'm out of gas after that one. And if you remember this great song by Chris Tomlin, it goes like,
we stand and lift up our hands. Remember this? For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. Together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Ha ha! We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? Together we sing. Everyone sing. Yeah, come on now. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Amen. Give Him a good clap today. Thank you, Lord. So good. So good. So good. Oh, bless you, loved ones. Man. Boy, leading you guys in worship is like throwing candy to a baby. Go ahead and be seated. I want to introduce my wife over here on my left, your right, honey. Can you turn around a little bit and wave at him? We are newlyweds. We've been married a whole 3.5 months. My joke is we're newlyweds with 89 years marriage experience. We're both widows. The Lord brought us together. She was married 43 to her late husband. I was married 46 to mine. And the goodness of God brought us together. We're so thankful. Her name is Venita. There she is. If you've been around in the assemblies for a while, you may have heard this song that I wrote many years ago. It goes like this. Let us draw near to the throne of God for mercy, and freely come to the throne of God for grace. Let us draw near to the throne of God, to Jesus. Let us draw near to Christ's throne to seek His face. Isn't that precious that God would put that in the Bible? Now, there's a couple of verses that you probably never heard for that song. I want to sing them to you right now. It goes like this. I hear the invitation. I hear my Father call. He knows my inclination. He sees me when I fall. And still He wants to know me. Oh, still He calls my name. He offers me forgiveness and takes away my shame. Let us draw near to the throne of God for mercy, and freely come to the throne of God for grace. Let us draw near to the throne of God, to Jesus. Let us draw near to Christ's throne to seek His face. this last verse, I want to invite you. Could you close your eyes with me? And can you imagine being the prodigal son when he came home? Try and picture that in your imagination, all right? He sought me like a shepherd when I had run away. He watched to see me coming from miles and miles away. He breathed his life into me. He looked into my face and he said his work was perfect and covered me with grace. Let us draw near to the throne of God for mercy. Oh, that's beautiful, church. And freely come to the throne of God for grace. Let us draw near to the throne of God, to Jesus. Let us draw near to Christ's throne to seek his face. Let us draw near to Christ's throne to seek his face. Thank you, Lord. Oh, how well I remember the night that Jesus came to me in his mercy. His spirit came close to me as I heard the word of God preached. And I could sense so strongly how holy and how beautiful and how pure he was. But all I could see that I was just in my own selfishness and filth. And I felt so ashamed I wanted to get up and run out of that church. But somehow I didn't. And it was as if the Lord came to me and I just felt all this horrible waterfall of selfishness over me. And he looked right through that and said, I'm here with mercy for you, son. And I broke and I wept and I cried for like 45 minutes because he's so kind. He's so compassionate. Oh, his love. His love. And he says, freely come, freely come. Don't be afraid. Thank you. Sing that chorus with me one more time, church, all right? Let us draw near to the throne of God for mercy, yeah. And freely come to the throne of God for grace. Let us draw near. Let us draw near to the throne of God, to Jesus. Let us draw near to Christ's throne to seek his face. Let us draw near to Christ's throne to seek his face. And generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb, and all have gone before us, and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all power and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, oh, are lifted high. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, cry, and the angels cry. Holy, all creation cries. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, if you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, holy, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Oh, hear your people sing. Kings, holy, you will always be holy, holy forever. Let's go to the bridge now, right? Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all, yeah. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. All name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name, oh, stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people, hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be holy, holy forever. You will always be beautiful in purity, so clothed in majesty. Oh, hear your bride sing to you, Lord. Oh, as your bride prepared in beauty, as you've clothed us in pure white. Oh, how we adore you. How we adore you, my God. Ooh. Ooh. Just wait for that interpretation. Bear witness to that, you elders. Amen. Amen. Oh, folks, what the Lord has just said to us. Oh, how he desires you. Folks, could you just gently lift your hands up to him and say, Lord, I desire you. More than wealth, more than riches, more than fame, more than money, more than all the other secret desires of my heart, I desire you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Oh, I want you, Jesus. Oh, how I want you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Can we just sit, look up at him and say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Amen, loved ones. You may be seated. Whew. I needed that. Yeah? As I'm opening my page, can you turn to somebody next to you and say, I enjoy how you worship the Lord. Could you just tell them that? Oh, my. We good, Pastor Lynn? Can I just take it from here? All right. Thank you. You know, as I mentioned, I grew up in Arizona. My dad was a football coach at the University of Arizona. And, man, that was fun. And this is in the dark ages. You know, this is my brothers and I had full run of the stadium. We shouldn't even be alive. The places we went, things we climbed up on top of the press box. Can you imagine? Like, there's nothing between you and, you know, 100 feet of the ground. You know, growing up in the desert, my brothers and I used to play in the desert all the time, go out and catch snakes, catch lizards, stuff like that. How many of you like snakes? Yeah, well, where I grew up, they were just everywhere. But, you know, one thing I started to learn about snakes is they're really camouflaged, you know, rattlesnakes and stuff. And I just love how the Creator God does amazing things with camouflage. I like to watch nature videos and how he's just built this into them. And, you know, undersea, like you see octopus sitting there, you can't even tell they're there. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like the dirt just comes alive and captures a fish or something like that. But God is the inventor of camouflage. Isn't that amazing? How many animals he has camouflaged, and for reasons, one is for their protection, but also two, so they can catch prey and they can survive. And camouflage is a big thing, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful, miraculous thing that God has created. And today we're going to talk about camouflage miracles, that sometimes there's a miracle right in front of you and you can't see it, but it's right there. And there's something that we can do in the spiritual heavenlies that the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, has been telling us this morning, even in the songs that Sharon chose today, just leading into this thought. And I think if you really grasp hold of this, amazing things can happen in your life at even the worst times. And so I hope to bring that out in a really good way that's very understandable and enjoyable to think about. So camouflage, it can be scary, but you know, when you grow up in the desert, you have to train yourself to look for camouflage snakes and other poisonous things. And you have to learn how to look and look and look and look. And every step you take, every move you make, I'll be watching. But you better be watching, because those creatures are very, very, very carefully camouflaged. But after you've trained your eyes, it's not that big a deal anymore. You know, out in the desert, you have both your eyes trained to see through the camouflage, because it's both your best defense and it's your best offense all at the same time, camouflage. And then after you get that figured out and you learn how to do it, you can tiptoe through the tulips just fine without fear. And that's why, because your eyes are trained to look for camouflage things, camouflage creatures. And God is such an artist, wouldn't you agree? Oh, the beauty of his handiwork. Oh, it's just so amazing. And so he helps these creatures survive and protect themselves and get prey. But did you ever notice that sometimes God does the opposite and makes certain animals and plants stand out on purpose? Right now I'm thinking of the Brazilian tree frog. You know how beautiful they are? They're all, you know, they're all just primped up. You know, like a woman with too much makeup on or something. It's like, stay away, man. That's bad, isn't it? But it's just like, stay away. You know, it's bright colors. And, you know, out in Arizona, we had Gila Monster. It's a really bright color. Stay away or you'll get hurt. And so he does the opposite of camouflage, too. He goes, don't go over there. I'm begging you. Just don't do it, all right? See that skunk? See the black and white stripe on it? And your dog goes, what? Yeah, I've had dogs like that, too, you know. So now let's take this into the spiritual dimension of our life. And today I want to suggest to you that the same creator that created all these marvelous camouflaged animals also has what I like to say, I like to call them camouflage miracles all around us. And there's a fun story we're going to go to about David. But what are camouflage miracles? And I'd like to say what they are is that God wants us to be able to recognize them. And they are the kind of miracles that God has been designing for you secretly behind the scenes. Can you believe that? Can you believe that God has a whole bunch of answered prayers stored up for you right now? He has a whole bunch of deliverance already for you and for me. Why? Because you're his kids. I used to ask my children all the time when I was raising them. They're in the 40s now. I go, when they're little, I go, kids, do you know how many bad plans Daddy has for you? And they learn the answer, zero. And I'd say, kids, when the Lord wants you to obey him, how many bad plans does he have for you? Zero. When I first got saved, I was afraid to say, I'll do anything you want, Lord, because I thought he would give me something to do that nobody else wanted. Isn't that a sick concept of God? It's like, nobody else, okay, I'll give it to you, Duff. That's such a twisted thing. But God has been designing them for you, and they were planned by God before you even knew you were going to need this camouflage miracle. And they are occurrences that may not seem very miraculous or dramatic at the time. They might even just feel like luck. And sometimes, though very uncomfortable, they may be unexpected assignments from God. Can I just lean into that just a little bit? Sometimes they're assignments from God that you didn't know you were going to get, and you wouldn't have signed up for it even if he'd asked you. Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, they may very well lead us into winning a battle which we could not have imagined being in before. And camouflage miracles, folks, when you train your spiritual eyes to see them, they are all around us every day. You will see them every day. And because we learn to live in a mindset of gratitude toward him, that's what unlocks it. And we learn well to remember his deeds. And so we're going to talk about a song that was sung about David and how it got him in trouble and what this led to. But some of you remember, I'm going to abbreviate this story, but David was anointed to become the next king, but the king that was there, the first king of Israel's name was Saul. And Saul became a very twisted man. He became very disobedient to the Lord. He became very insecure, and he hated David because he was jealous of him. And he disobeyed the Lord so many times. And so part of how this started was Saul was a great warrior. Make no mistake, his son was a great warrior too. His name was Jonathan. And when they'd ride into town after battle, all the kids would come out and they'd be singing. And they'd be, Saul is slain his thousands. Yo, respect. You know, doing that. And he just loved that. But then David became, after he slew Goliath and stuff like that, he started winning battles too. And these kids added another verse to the song. Saul is slain his thousands, but David, his 10,000, he the man. And that honest to goodness, that made him so mad, he wanted to throw a spear through David. He tried several times. And David finally took off and ran out in the wilderness. He goes, this king has got me. He's got guys searching for me high and low, day and night. I can't get away from it. And so he has now gone out in the wilderness. There was a bunch of other guys, about 300 of them, that were just losers, and he collected even more than that. And he turned them into great warriors. David just had the kiss of God on his life, a favor of destiny. It was just amazing. And so they went out as mercenaries. So that means hired soldiers, if you're not familiar with that term. And they started working for the bad guys, the Philistines. He started working for a king. His name was Achish. And in the Hebrew, that means to sneeze. Now, I just made that up. You know, without even doing the research, I figured that out. But So he started working for this guy. So he'd go out and fight. We really don't know what battles he went and fought. He told the king this, but you know, who knows what he was doing. And so finally comes the day that King Achish and all his generals, they're going to go fight King Saul. And so the generals get together and they go, you know this guy David? This is the same David that the song is about. They know the song in the Philistines. The song is, it's the number one song on the radio, you know, for like 3 years. And they just hear, and they go, this is the guy. King, are you stupid or what? We're going to get in the middle of the battle. He's going to turn on us, and he's going to go home a national hero. Fire him now. And so King Achish goes, okay, well, I guess you guys are right. And he fires David. And so he and his men take off unemployed, going across the southern Negev desert. I think it takes them like 3-4 days to get there. And there's nothing there. If you've ever seen pictures of Israel down in the Negev, it's just rocks and dirt and rocks and dirt, and that's it. And so when they get there, they're really tired, and they go to their hometown. It's got a name weirder than Tombstone. It's called Ziklag. And they get to Ziklag, and they're thinking, well, we're unemployed, and what are we going to do now? I don't know. But at least when we go home, my wife, Marianne, will be there. She'll have hot biscuits in the pan. We will be the kids will be so excited. And they come up over the ridge, and where Ziklag is supposed to be, there's just smoke and debris blowing around, and there's nobody, and all the buildings are knocked down. And they've been taken away by some bad guys whose name are the Amalekites. If you don't mind, say Amalekites with me. Because we need to remember these guys. These are bad. They are ruthless. They are heinous people. People, terrorists times 10, of what they do to people, how they steal people, how they do unspeakable things I wouldn't even say now, how they traffic them and stuff like this. And these guys know the Amalekites are the worst of the worst, and that's who has my kids and my wife. And it says in 1 Samuel 30 is where we are. It says, when the men came, David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed. And so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Have you ever wept that hard? All the tears are gone? Mm-hmm. And David had two wives at that time. I don't understand why. I will ask Pastor Lynn to preach on that someday. Just kidding. And now verse 6 says something very interesting. It says, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking about stoning him because each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters being kidnapped. And if I can just interject this, folks, this is time for us to put on our big boy pants as Christians, because we're going to see more and more trials coming at us. We're going to see more and more attacks come at us as we get closer to the Lord's return. But when bad things happen, the carnal response, the immature response, the ignorant response is to immediately blame the leadership or someone else who is handy. I mean, honestly, there's some people who think they have a spiritual gift of blame. Hey, I'm blessed with a spirit of criticism. Okay, brother. But these guys are, you know, after a while, so one of them looks at David and they go, you, it's your fault. Because if it weren't for that stupid song, we wouldn't be here, would we, boys? And they start picking up rocks, you know, like the woman caught in adultery. They're surrounding him. And, of course, David is really worried. But it interrupts the story all of a sudden in chapter verse 6, last part. And it says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. And that's the center of what I'd like to share with you today and unpack this thing and see how does that happen in my life right now? How does that happen in your life? But he found strength. And right there, folks, we find out why David was the leader and they were not. Because he knew how to do this. And I think I know what he did. And I'm going to tell you about that in a few minutes. But, you know, being able to do this, to find strength in the Lord in the midst of horrific situations. This is what separates the men from the boys, the girls from the women, the leaders from the followers, because there's always going to be Monday morning armchair quarterback criticizers for us. But for all who aspire to spiritual maturity, remember this, David didn't blame. He didn't blame. But instead, I believe that he remembered God's deeds out loud. So if you aspire to spiritual maturity, everybody raise your hand right now. Yes, you do. That you'll take courage in this story, because sometimes people are going to try and roast your hide for doing the right thing. So remember that. Sweetheart, could you bring me that bottle of juice right there? I'm getting so excited, I'm getting a little dry. Thank you, sweetie. So David didn't freak out when others were plotting against him. And David said this in Psalm 25. Maybe you grew up singing this song. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. David knew it wasn't his fault. Don't blame yourself for everything, church, when things go wrong. And it just so happens that often in life, often when you do the right thing, bad things are going to happen. But camouflage miracles are not the kind of miracles that everybody notices and even expect. A lot of people just won't. Everybody notices a blind man jumping around when he's been healed, or a lame man that could suddenly walk. Everybody notices the Red Sea when you walk through it, but camouflage miracles can just seem like luck, like they are in this story that I'll point out in a moment. So we have to ask ourselves, was it just chance, or was this a loving, caring, sovereign God who invades this story with a camouflage miracle? But I believe David has developed an ability to remember all the things that God has done for him and for others in unlocking more camouflage miracles. And they're the kind of miracles that sometimes you don't even see they're going to happen. So remember this horrible story. He and his men have just been fired. They traveled for days over a hot, dry desert. The town is destroyed. Their wives and children have been kidnapped. Now, let's look at what happens next in the story, these camouflage miracles as they unfold. So the first thing David does after all the guys drop their rocks in the dirt, and they apologize, I'm sure, and David says, Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? And the Lord says, yes. See, never assume on what God wants you to do next, even in a situation of injustice. Pray first. Pray first. Big thing of wisdom that he did here. And God answered. He asked a simple question. He got a simple answer. And the Lord said, yeah, you will overtake them. So on that word that he held on to, it is good. The future is good. He moved forward in that. And then camouflage miracle two. Remember, they had just traveled across the desert with very little to eat, very little to drink. And so when they went out to fight these men, it says 400 of them still had strength to go fight another battle. And they had to fight for 24 hours straight. Can you imagine that? But they still had strength to do that. How do we find strength? How do your friends, your family find strength when you go through horrendous situations, through mind-numbing, ghastly circumstances? Where does that strength come from? But somehow they found that, and they received supernatural strength to go and fight this battle. It was the quiet grace of God. Camouflage miracle number three. Now, this is really funny, what happens next. They just kind of go, where are these guys? The trail's cold. This happened 3 days ago. The wind is always blowing in the Negev Desert. Any tracks or trails that are left? Some of you guys are probably good at tracking elk and stuff like that. I'm not. But they go, which way did they go? You know the old saying, which way did they go? I think they kind of went that way. And so they head that way through this vast ocean of sand and rock, hoping that they're going to find out where these guys are and where their families are. And they, in the middle of the desert, somebody looks ahead and they go, there's somebody laying in the desert up there. And they get closer to them and they look at him, and here's a guy, and he's dressed like an Egyptian, and he's laying there, and there's buzzards flying around him probably in his lap. His lips are all chapped and everything. He's all sunburned, and he's been laying there for days. And they look at him and they go, man, what is going on? And is he dead? I don't know. Poke him. And they throw some water on him, and he kind of comes to like that. And they go, quick, give him something to eat. You know, give him some dates or something like that, or raisins. And they finally sit him up, and they're going, bro, what happened to you, man? He goes, man, I've been here like for 3 days. Why? Who are you? He goes, I'm an Egyptian, but I'm the slave of an Amalekite. Remember we said Amalekites a minute ago? So David's eyebrows go up and he goes, what? What? He goes, yeah, I'm a slave of Amalekite. What happened to you? I got sick the other day, man. I had bad pizza or something. Like, I don't know what it is. And I just couldn't travel anymore. So they just dumped me, man. They just dumped me out like trash. And David gets real excited. He goes, do you know where they are? And he goes, yeah. He said, can you take me there? He goes, yeah, but you got to swear not to kill me. David goes, done. So now imagine this. Three days ago, God makes an Egyptian slave of Amalekite get sick with stomach flu or something. I don't know what it was. So 3 days ago, maybe before these guys even know their wives and children are missing, God's doing a camouflage miracle, letting this guy get sick, and I'm going to try and kill this bottle of orange juice too. And so you see how this is happening? And it just looks like luck, doesn't it? But it's not. It's a camouflage miracle. And God had that plant already going there. And so now they know exactly where to go. It's so funny. Sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, but I know I am. But, you know, sometimes I like to figure out how God's going to answer my prayers. Do you ever do that? You're like, well, it's hard to pray because I don't know how God should answer it. I need to tell him how. So you don't pray. You just worry about it instead. Yikes. And so, you know, sometimes when we're praying, we can't go, okay, Lord, we'll make them have an Egyptian slave who's going to get sick 3 days ago. It's just nuts, you know. But you see, God's always ahead of us on this because the Bible says it like this. How great, that means how massive, how big, how opulent, how great is your goodness that you've stored up for those that fear you, Lord. Okay? And so David, you know, knew all this stuff. And here's how I think he got there. Here's how I think he got to that place to unlock these things. Oh, by the way, the final miracle is this, the quiet of the four that I'm mentioning, is they go down, they find those guys, and none of their wives and none of their children are dead. And they get back everything. These bad guys, the Amalekites, they've been going around their gangs. And they've been going down from town to town and destroying them, looting them. And their camp is filled with stuff. And David and his men go and they defeat them. Some of them get away. They were young guys. They got away on camels. I think that's just the mercy of God. Let a younger generation have another chance to repent. But David and his men collected all these spoils. They had to go on a tour for 8 days to give it all away. And they got everything back. The Lord restored to them everything that had been taken from them, plus some. That's how good God is. And that's what he wants for us in one way or another. But here's what I think David did, and this is what I really want to zoom in on and lean into, is that David somehow, as that shepherd boy, had really gotten good at noticing little things. He could see through camouflage. He could see little blessings. He was out there all alone just practicing, you know, his instrument and slingshots all day long and just making up songs. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Finally come over the hill and you see David, he's like, da 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 da, I'm seeing you. It's like, what a kook. But he was so good at noticing little things and he was really good at recounting. I think that when all those men were around him, it's kind of like the woman caught in adultery, remember that? And Jesus, as they're going to stone her, Jesus is writing in the ground. We don't know what he wrote, but whatever he wrote got to him, didn't it? And the rocks started to thud and make little clouds of dust. I think David might have gone like this. And this is based on his history. I think he started saying, Lord God, I remember last week when we were up and the odds were 10-1 against us over at Mixel Pixel. And you came through and we were totally surrounded, but you came through and we defeated all those guys. And he starts naming battle after battle after battle that he remembers right in the front of his head. They're always right there. You know what the Lord did for me? You know what the Lord did for me? You know what the Lord did? That's what we ought to be. That ought to be in your conversation all the time, whether you're talking to Christians or non-Christians. I talk to non-Christians like that all the time. Guess what the Lord did for me? Guess what the Lord did for me? Guess what the Lord did for me? They go, wow, he has a relationship with him, I guess. And David was so good at that. And here's another reason I think he was doing that in front of those guys, because they got ashamed because they saw, you know, what dirtbags they were. And but when he came as a young boy after when he was a shepherd and he came, and remember Saul was taunting the armies and the Israelite army, they're just hiding and Saul is doing nothing. And Saul and David comes walking in, he's got bread and cheese, you know, for his brothers. And there's this big, ugly, smelly guy yelling at him. And David is so impressed with God. And he goes, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? That'd be an interesting thing to say to somebody, wouldn't it? Who is this guy that taunts the armies of the living God? And so they take him up to Saul, and a whole bunch of other things happen in this story. And he goes up to Saul, and he goes, I'll take him. The Lord will be with me. And he says, and here's why. Because, you know, one time I was watching my sheep, and a lion came in. And he had one of my sheep, and it made me so mad, I went over, and I chased that stupid thing down, and I grabbed him by the ears. And I pulled that sheep out of his mouth. And then another time a bear came in and the same thing happened. I went and got him. I can King, I can remember pulling his jaws open with my fingers between his teeth and his drool running down my arm and his bad breath in my face, and I broke him. And the Spirit of God came upon your servant. And as God delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear, he will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. See, David was he just lived like that. Folks, it wasn't complicated. He wasn't super spiritual. He was just really good at remembering stuff. And in some ways, I think about this hard, and I'm not saying this flippantly, that's all you have to do to get mature in Christ. No wonder Paul wrote this, give thanks in every situation because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't matter what's happened to you. Give thanks in it. Lean into it. Look at it and go, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not running from you. I'm giving thanks. I'm looking right at you and giving thanks that you're in my face right now because God's going to do something because his great goodness has been stored up for me. And that's why I think David did that. I'm pretty sure I'm right. And there's a 100% chance that I might be right. Now, here's the rub about spiritual things. Sometimes it answers to prayer. Miracles are often in the process of coming to pass. Answers to prayer, finding strength in really, really hard times and reclaiming things that were lost. Those miraculous things that are getting ready to happen are often invisible to our human eyes. They are camouflaged to us. Even though they're right there. Camouflage. In other words, we can't see these progressive answers to prayer coming to pass. But I love this verse. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Psalm 25:14. The scripture says, the secret, everybody say secret if you don't mind. The secret of the Lord is with them who fear him. All of you brought in with you today into church, the most valuable thing in your whole life. Every single one of you walked through the door with it today. It wasn't your money. It wasn't your credit card. It wasn't your car. It wasn't your spouse. It wasn't your kids. You know what you treasure more than anything and you guard more than anything else in your life? Your secrets. And you probably might be bothered that I even said that. Don't talk about my secrets. I don't tell everybody my secrets to you. You'd be nuts to do that. I mean, we learn to be wise who we open up to and who we don't open up to, right? I can tell my wife anything. I can tell Pastor Lynn anything. I can tell Don anything, you know. But we're very, very careful with our secrets. And guess what? The most valuable thing in the universe is the revealed knowledge of God, of who he is. And he protects it, and he doesn't just give it to anybody. In fact, for you to know him, he's so protective of it that he has to cleanse you with his own blood first to tell you some secrets. And he freely does that. Isn't that amazing? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. When you learn how to get in and do it, and it starts with this, folks. It starts with this, because he's good, and he very much wants you to find him. And he's made a way for all of us to find him and to find these answers. He wants, can I say this? It just as this prophecy that was given, he wants you. He wants to help you. He wants to love on you. He wants to defend you. He wants to straighten things out in your life. He wants to heal your complicated messes and clean up your past that you did so stupidly. He wants to clean it up. He wants to give back to us what the enemy has taken from us. He wants you to live a life of joy and peace, folks, because he's good. That, you know, we say that all the time, he's good. I always think about, what's that mean? You know, it's not like, oh, Pepsi is good, you know, or, you know, my wife's Huckleberry bars are good. But he's good. It means he's generous, he's kind, he's loving, he's caring, he's happy. Sidebar, I love to watch videos on YouTube of babies laughing. There's one I saw last week. A mommy's got the baby on her lap. She's got his binky in her mouth. She's going, and the baby goes, do it again, Mom. Like that. You know, like, why do babies like that? Why do they laugh like they just belly laugh? And the parents are falling down. Like, look at the kid laughing at the simplest things. Get ready in heaven. That's what it's going to be like. I think heaven's got a lot of laughter in it. But he's just so good. He's so kind. And the Word of God with the Holy Spirit inside of you reveals the camouflage miracles that God wants you to find. Hearing the Lord. He'll give you new hearing. He'll give you new eyesight. He'll give you spiritual insight. If you do what David did, if you're a good rememberer, try this at lunch. Say to one another, what's the last thing you remember the Lord doing for you? And if you're good at this, you immediately say, he got me up in the morning. I had food to eat. I have clothes on my back. I have shoes on my feet. Folks, it's the little things. It's not the grand things. We're always looking for grand stuff like, oh, you're part of the Red Sea for me, you know. No. Just the little things. It's just the little things. And that's one of the main reasons why you have to be a serious student of the Word, because the Word of God helps open our eyes to understand these things. He gives us perspective, and that's our inheritance from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is right in the middle of every situation, every battle, every storm, and every blessing. And he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And when we see through the camouflage of what we're seeing with natural eyes, we'll be able to triumphantly yell, oh man, now I see it. Praise God. But we got to learn how to slow down and, like, you're looking for camouflage and learn to be that, okay? There may be unexpected battles that you are called to fight. You may be in for some battles that you did not sign up for. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. See, everything he did in the resurrection is yours now. You're an heir to everything he's overcome, which is everything. It's there for you. But you may be in for battles that you didn't sign up for, that you did not want anything to do with, but here they are at your doorstep. And that situation is going to demand, I'm not trying to make you afraid or anything, please understand that. It's just life on earth, okay? But that situation is going to demand that in your soul you have a powerful sword and a powerful shield operating. And the name of the Lord is your sword and your shield and your tower. And his faithfulness and his goodness is right there for you. You're heir to everything. The scariest things that you will ever go through is the portal through which you will know God more than you've ever known him before. Will you understand the depths of his love? And in some ways, the only way to truly, truly know God is to walk with him through suffering. He doesn't have to make it up for you. It just comes of this life on earth. Someday, you're not going to have any of this anymore. I don't even remember what it was. I was married for 46 years. And to a woman whose name was Bonita. My wife here is Vanita. Isn't that precious? Camouflage miracles. Yeah, she's the one, Duff. Yeah. And she'd had many, many lung maladies throughout her life. And she'd almost died so many times from lung problems, I couldn't remember. She probably had pneumonia 12 times. But when we both got COVID in 2020, it just about killed her. And I mean, literally, she was dying. But somehow God brought her through that. And then in 2023, we discovered things were seemingly strange and things were going on in her body. And we went in one night to Sacred Heart in Spokane and they discovered some sort of cancer I'd never heard of. It's called omental cancer. I'd never heard of that. I didn't know you had something called an omentum. But they said, it's untreatable. There's no chemo for it. There's no radiation for it. This is a death sentence. You're going to die. And that's pretty hard to take. And a few months later, it took her life. My late wife, Vanita's late husband, were wonderful people. They served God with all their heart. They were so beloved. We are so blessed to have had that, of spouses that didn't leave us with baggage and hurt and harm. And we get to take what they gave us and share it with each other now. And, you know, when people found out she was dying of cancer, people flew in from and drove in from all over the nation. For my wife, that had no title and, you know, nothing like that, she just had the love of Christ. in her. She was a very beloved and respected woman by hundreds of people. And the best things and the hardest things I'd ever done in my life were because of her heart and her wisdom and her kindness and her love for the Lord. But she finally succumbed to that cancer, and the Lord brought her to her heavenly home. And I truly felt at that time that all joy and gladness was gone from my life. Sidebar, but I called a friend who I'd seen lose his wife to cancer. And I drove down to meet him when my mind was exploding with sorrow and pain and crazy thoughts. His name is Lynn Peters. And that was a very crucial day in my life, Lynn, and I will be forever grateful to you. And many of you have experienced the death of someone very close to you, maybe a parent or a sibling or a child even, but psychologists do tell us that the loss of a spouse is the most painful of all, especially if you had a very happy marriage like I had for 46 and Nita had for 43. Marriage that had many joys and sorrows, but it was always permeated with grace and love. And when you are in one flesh with someone, the pain of losing them is truly indescribable. Half of you is gone now, and you hardly know who you are anymore. You weep until there's no more tears left to weep, and the nights are filled with loneliness and darkness, and the emptiness feels like it's crippling your very soul. And I did not know, I remember this thinking, I do not know what hope feels like anymore. That's a strange feeling. I knew Pastor Lynn had walked through this. I knew his first wife, Luann. And I'd seen him navigate it. And I'm so glad I had a friend to reach out to who understood. I didn't know what hope felt like anymore. I felt I had nothing left to bring to God. May I emphasize this? I felt I had nothing left to bring to God except sorrow. And I would lay on my floor night after night after night and weep and weep and weep. And I cried out to God, and I said, Lord, I don't have anything left except sorrow. And you know what he told me? He said, then bring me that, Duff. Bring me your sorrow. Don't hide it and don't hate it. Give it to me as your most costly sacrifice. I knew that Ziklag story really well. And I had to believe that it's a story of resurrection. That in that story is resurrection to give you back what you lost. This Ziklag camouflage blessing story is a story of disaster with a capital D, but it turned into unimagined, unforeseen blessings, blessings that only he could create and bring to me. I had known in life that I would sometimes have to be involved in a battle I didn't sign up for. I never knew I'd have to sign up for that one. I knew that in that type of battle, I would have to know how to strengthen myself in the Lord, which means I would need to know how to give him total control of my problem and thank him in advance that he already had his goodness stored up for me. And at some point, maybe not immediately, he would give me strength to get up and move on. And I knew that when the tidal waves of sorrow and it had nearly destroyed me, that the comforter would come to me and ease my soul. So I kept on, and I developed a new habit, Donna. I even coined it. I call it binge worshiping. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many of you binge on TV shows. But I learned something. I would hear a song. I'd put on a song. You know, I have hundreds of worship songs on my phone. And I listened to one that seemed to be speaking to me. So I'd listen to it again, and then again, and then again, and again. I felt like a badger digging a hole and going inside and going, I'm going to get as deep as I can into that song until the Holy Spirit gives me everything I think he's got. And I would binge worship like that, and it became a new wonderful habit. And there I found grace. In there, he would ask me for my sorrows. He'd say, don't hate them and don't hide them, Duff. Bring them to me. If you wouldn't mind, folks, would you say this? Don't hate it and don't hide it. Mm-hmm. That was really powerful that he spoke that to my heart because it became an offering. And little by little by little and through the through the friendship of so many godly friends that I have. Folks, I feel I'm the most blessed man in the world of the friends I have that I've met in all my travels and that I stay in touch with. And folks, you need the body of Christ. When your brain is telling you, I don't feel like going today, I can watch it on TV, could you just like rebuke that and say, that's a stupid thought. Get out of here. You need each other. Because someday you're going to find out how bad you need each other. But you know what I found out? This is what we're built for. This is where the body of Christ, I felt the power of kindness coming from my friends, healing me. But you know, you never know when God's going to bless you. And this last story I'm going to tell you is not in my notes, but the Holy Spirit keeps bumping me with this. And several months after Benita was gone, and I was driving over and feeling so empty, and I was going to go see some friends in Seattle. I live in Post Falls. And I was on my way there, and I was feeling fine, and I got in the car, and I thought, oh, it's going to be good to see old friends. So I got in the car, and I was driving and just pouring my heart to God and binge worshiping in the car. And I'm just driving along feeling fine. It's like 4 in the afternoon, and all of a sudden I get drowsy, and I go, and my head actually nods like that. And I'm used to driving a lot. I've done a lot of driving in my lives, long trips. And I go, that's weird. I'm not even feeling tired. And I'm nodding off. I roll down the window, breathe some, you know, cold air, you know. And I roll the window back up, and about 5 minutes later, I go, what is this? Why am I getting tired like this? I'm coming up to the beautiful town of downtown Ritzville, okay? And I know there's a Starbucks. Like, I know in every city I can tell when I drive around a city, I can tell where the guitar stores are and where coffee places are. I just, I can find them. And I knew there was a Starbucks there, and I go, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull in there and get me a quad Americano. That'll wake me up for a little bit. Yeah, that'll get her done. And so this funny, out-of-the-blue drowsiness, I go into the Starbucks. There's nobody there, but another family pulls up against the curb and walks in, and I walk in right behind them at the same time. And they look really happy, and it's a man and his wife. He's like 6'5", great big guy. He's got a pretty wife. And they're smiling at each other, and she kisses him on the cheek, and my heart's going, man, if you knew how lucky you were to have your spouse, bro. Yeah, but I think he knew. I could tell by the look in his face. And the kids, and I walked up, and they stood at the end of the line making up their minds, and I said, I'll just go pass. And I ordered my Americano, my quad Americano. And I got to order. So then while it's being made, I walk past them into the restroom and do my thing in there and wash up and dry off. And I come out a few minutes later, and now that family is toward the front of the store, and I'm walking over there, and the woman is looking at me, walking towards me, and she goes, Duff Rowden? I go, yeah. I go, how on earth do you know who I am? And she goes, well, my name is Heidi. It used to be Heidi Smith, blah, blah, blah. I used to go to Cedar Park Church. I used to be the worship pastor of a church in Seattle called Cedar Park. And she said, I grew up under your ministry there. I went, you got to be kidding. She goes, my parents, I go, I know who your parents are. I remember them really well. And I remember your brother and everything. Turns out her brother now is the senior pastor of that church. And I go, what are the odds? Like, where are you? She goes, we're coming from Seattle, going back over to Kellogg. Well, I'm going from Post Falls, going to Snoqualmie. I go, what are the odds that we walk? How do you recognize me? It's been 35 years. She goes, I can still tell it's you because, but she says, but when I heard your voice, I knew it was you because I'm so used to your voice. And we're just laughing, like, what are the odds of us walking in here that you couldn't plan it any better? I mean, impossible. These are astronomical odds that they would recognize all this stuff. And so we're just laughing. And then she said, as we're leaving, the kindest things to me, she started crying. She goes, Duff, you have no idea how your ministry touched my life. It changed me forever, how I approach God, how I worship him, how I come to him with expectation. So we're both bawling. And then we hug, and her husband goes, I had some classes with you at Northwest. I'm like, wow. So I got back in my car, and I was sniffing tears away and going, God, that was so good. Man, I needed that today. I needed that. Thank you, Lord, for the attaboy. And that's all I thought it was. But about an hour later, as I'm approaching the Columbia River, you know where you go down by Vantage? I felt like the Holy Spirit goes like this. He goes, now, you want to know the real reason that I did that? You mean there's something else? You mean there's a camouflage? And he said, Duff, I know the hurt of your heart. I know how lonely you are. And I know you don't want to be alone the rest of your life. You've got a lot of life left in you. But I did that today to let you know that I can put you in anybody else's life or anybody else's life in your life at the exact time in a place that you didn't expect. You didn't have to plan. You have to do a thing. This is easy. That's what I felt him say. This is so easy for me, Duff. You don't need to worry about a thing. And it gave me such peace. It just washed over me with great peace. And I knew I had nothing else to worry about. Folks, God can put anybody, anything in your life, anywhere, anytime. And you just keep focusing on that. You just keep leaning into that. And you worship your way through this. No matter what it is, no matter what attacks come at you, you can thank God that they came to you and not somebody else because you know how to respond in a godly way that other people don't know how. Thank God for using you as a shock absorber. Well, man, I have been all over the map with you guys today, haven't I? And you've been such good listeners. But folks, this is the thing. I hope that you take this away, is that God has these camouflage miracles for us, and he just wants us to be really good noticers, to walk in worship the way that the songwriters wrote this. In fact, I'm going to ask Sharon and the team to come back up and to close us with that song, Sharon, that I asked you to do. Could you guys go ahead and just come run up here right now and do that? And we're going to sing that and apply that right now. But let's just pray right now. Could you just, with me, if you wouldn't mind closing your eyes and bowing your head. Loved one, do you got something on your mind right now? Do you got something like, I don't know, it's so tangled. It's so complicated. I don't know what to do. Well, bring that as your offering to him. It's like like a child bring a toy and it's just been run over by the car. Daddy, I don't know what to do. Bring it to him as an offering. Say, Father, I trust you. I really do trust you, Lord, with all my heart. Wow. Today is David looked at Ziklag and the impossibility of it and the horror of it and what our imaginations could go to. And so, Lord, we say in the name of Jesus, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters right here that are against impossible odds, absolutely impossible odds, where things have been done to them and the things that they've done to themselves. We've all done dumb things, Lord, but we thank you that we can draw near to the throne of God for mercy and freely come to the throne of God for grace, that we draw near to Jesus and you show us your face, Lord. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, amen. Lead us, Sharon.
Though a thousand may fall at my side, though the enemy war against me, I will not fear the terror by night. I will hide in the shadow of your wings. I will dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. I will rest in the beauty of your presence. Your faithfulness is a shield and my great reward. I will not be afraid. I will trust in the Lord. Oh, I will trust in you, Lord. You set me, you have set me securely on. Deliver me out of darkness,
Jesus.
And when evil surrounds my life, you commanded your angels to guard me. I will dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. I will rest in the beauty of your presence. Your faithfulness is a shield and my great reward.
in the beauty of your presence. Your faithfulness is a shield and my great reward. I will not be afraid. I will trust in the Lord. Oh, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in you, Lord. Trust in you, Lord. I will trust in you, Lord. I'll trust in you, Lord. We trust in you.
Sometimes I have to obey to things that I don't necessarily feel comfortable in doing, but I'm going to do it. We have four aisles in this church, and I believe that there are a number of you this morning that God needs to work and convince you in your heart that He is really in control. Trust Him. Trust Him. Listen, I lived in Tucson for a while. I understand Arizona, and I understand you need to pick your trails well and pay attention to what could be along every trail. But this is what I sense God say, and it's this, that He wants you this morning to say to Him, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you in the midst of what you've told me. I'm going to trust you there. And I'm going to ask for you, God, to be my strength and my source. And you know what? He's going to meet you right in the midst of where your life is right here today. But I need you to go to one of these four aisles and just step out in it. I'll ask you to come first. And then we in the body, we're going to just gather around and just lay hands and asking God to meet you right there. So if you please, this would be like your trail. You may not know exactly what your tomorrows hold, but God is in control of it all, and He knows. So step out in those trails. Step out in these aisles right now. Will you do it?